Thank you for coming. I hope everyone is prepared for a productive Benas Nanim, and you get some good rest and move on to some good things. Those who are coming back in Elul, come back refreshed and excited. Those who are not coming back in Elul, then please move on to your next things refreshed and excited, and I'm sure they'll be very, very enjoyable and productive. So I'd like to speak to you today about a topic which I hope you'll find one or two takeaways from this topic. It's very practical, but it's based on something which is very fundamental and theoretical, but I've called it here Loving God and Loving Life, 10 Practical Tips. And what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to give you an overview of the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem, which is so fundamental, very, very foundational, and then 10 practical ways that you can decide which of these relate to you as to how you're going to do this mitzvah. So this is a mitzvah that we talk about a lot every day, but not many people have kind of gone into in depth. So let's look at it. It's going to take us an hour. There's going to be a lot of material. We'll work it out. So we say every morning in Shacharis, we say, V'yached levaveinu, please, God, unite our hearts, li ahava uliyira. We want to serve you with ahava, and we want to serve you with yira. With love and with awe. And we could give a whole shiur about what is Yirat Shamayim. I'm not talking about Yirat Shamayim now. Yirat Shamayim is very, very important. It's about basically taking the whole thing really seriously, that there are big stakes and we want to get it right. And we bless you, and we don't want to mess it up. But we're not going to get into that now. It's a very important idea in and of itself. But Ahava is, if you like, even more central. When there's a choice between Ahava and Yira, then Ahava always overtakes the Yira. In Kabbalistic terms, it's the power of the right hand and the left hand. It's the Chesed and the Gvura. And the Chesed is always, the Gvura is very important, but the Chesed is always, has to be a little bit more than the Gvura. The Ramban gives this as the reason why when there's a conflict between a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah in the Torah, the positive mitzvah overrides the negative mitzvah. A classic example of this is Yibum. There is a mitzvah for a brother-in-law to marry the sister-in-law. If the woman marries a man and the man dies without children, then his brother has to marry the widow. Now, that's prohibited. According to Torah law, you're not allowed to marry your brother-in-law. If you marry a guy and get divorced, you can't get married to his brother, even if he's cute and he's like all the things that your previous husband wasn't. Okay, but you can't get married to him. It's like incestuous. Okay, it's not a blood relative, but it's a prohibited relative. But when there's a positive mitzvah to do that, yibum, it overrides the negative. Yes.
Sorry, what's that thing about you have to go to a bet din and something about a shoe?
Yeah, that's if you don't get married to the brother-in-law. You have to do chalitza. But you have to deal with it. You have to either get married to the brother-in-law or get unmarried to the brother-in-law. Now, today we don't do the marriage as much as we used to do. Some communities do. But that's the flip side of it. So whenever you have a positive mitzvah, another example is tzitzit. There's a positive mitzvah to wear tzitzit, and there's a negative mitzvah to have shatnas, to have wool and linen mixed together in the same piece of clothing. And yet the tzitzit are made from shatnas. If you wear a linen garment and you have the tzitzit have to be wool, so that mitzvah is shatnas in and of itself, but the positive overrides the negative there. I don't want to get too much into this because this is not the idea I'm talking about. Quick question.
Just to confirm, Shabbat itself is both positive and negative.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, both positive and negative. Okay, now let's get focus on Ahava. You say every day, it's number two, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Then you say the Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. You have a mitzvah to love God. B'chol vavcha, and these are very strong words, b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'enecha, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all of your money, your possessions, your abilities. There's a lot of discussion on what these words mean. And then it says the next line, the next verse, v'hayuad varim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavcha yom alavecha. And you have to make sure you learn Torah. Now, what is the connection between those two things? We'll see soon. The mitzvah of Ahava and the mitzvah of learning Torah. But the mitzvah of Ahava is right there in the Shema. And we see this mitzvah all over. Number three, all through Dvarim. We just started reading Sefer Dvarim. Ahava is a big theme. Number three, Lihavai Hashem Elokecha. You must love God. Lishmo b'kolo. You must listen to His voice. L'dav ka'bo. And you must stick to God. Devek. You must find a way somehow to adhere, to stick, to connect. When we talk about relationship with God, it's all about building a relationship with God. This is what we're talking about. And you have to work out, how do you build a relationship with God? I feel that sometimes when we talk a lot about this topic, people have this idea in their mind that they kind of made up as to what God is, and they kind of have a relationship with that. But that's just a relationship with yourself. That's not actually a relationship with God. I'm going to give you 10 different ways as to how to develop this dveikut, this mitzvah of dveikut, of connecting to God, of loving God. Okay, these are not the only 10 ways, but don't just invent something that you think is you having a relationship with God. It might be you just having a relationship with your own fantasy as to what God might be. Okay, and that's a bit of a waste of, an investment of time. So let's have a look here. Let's go on. The Sefer Chinuch says, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem is not just another mitzvah. It underpins every mitzvah. Number 4, mitzvahs Ahavas Hashem, he says. Shenitztaveinu. The Sefer Chinuch, lived in the time in Spain in the 1300s, 1200s, 1300s, and he goes through all 613 mitzvahs. Very worthwhile reading. It's in Hebrew, it's in English. The Hebrew is simple Hebrew, and the English is available easily as well. I really recommend learning Sefer Chinuch. He wrote it to go through with his kids on Shabbos, what each mitzvah means. Shenitztaveinu la'elvis ha'mokom. We have to love God, calls God Hamokam. I'm not getting into why that is now. Mokam Baruch Hu. Shneimar v'yahavtes Hashem Elokecha. The inyan mitzvah. What is this mitzvah? Shenachshav v'nitzbonen. We have to think v'nitzbonen, and we have to consider the pekudav u'pulatav. All the mitzvahs. We have to think about mitzvahs. Think about God's actions. We'll see more about that soon. Ad shenisigei gufi yichaltei. Until we understand them the best that we can. We don't just keep mitzvahs because, like, we're frum. We keep mitzvahs because we've thought about mitzvahs. And because we understand to the best of our ability what it means to keep this mitzvah. We have to really think a lot, he says. As much as we can. The nitaneg, and we have to enjoy it. It's not good enough to just think about it and do it. We have to actually get ta'anug. Ta'anug, a real deep sense of joy, of excitement, of enthusiasm, of energy. This is what this mitzvah is. Bahasagaso, from that understanding that we have, betachlit ha'oneg. Tachlit ha'oneg. It's the ultimate oneg. Rachel, do you need something?
Yeah. Does anyone have an extra highlighter? I'm sorry.
I could see that you are looking for something in life. There we are. Now you've got a riches, embarrassment of riches now. Tachli tatanu, meaning you think you like, I don't know, chocolate cake?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. But that's not real tanuk. Tanuk, this is tachli tatanuk. The joy, the excitement, the energy, the long-term feeling of, like, connectedness that you'll get from this is better than any kind of chocolate cake. V'zotia ahava mukhayevet, and this is what you're obligated to do. This is not just an option for very frum people. This is an obligation for every single girl and boy from 12 and 13 to develop Ahavas Hashem. In fact, the Sefer, the Chasam Sofer, who was a very major thinker of the early 1800s, says, what's the first mitzvah that a bar mitzvah boy or a bat mitzvah girl does when they turn bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah? And people say, oh, I don't know, maybe davening. No, it's this mitzvah, Ahavat Hashem, the sense of excitement of, wow, I'm a bar mitzvah and I have to do this and these mitzvahs. That's a mitzvah in the Torah, and you do this mitzvah every waking moment. The Shorish mitzvah Zoyadua, I'm on the third line, number 4, everybody has to understand where this mitzvah is coming from. Shaloi kama other mitzvahs Hashem Baruch Hu yafa. You don't do any other mitzvah yafa nicely. Rak bi'ahavas ha'orza, unless you love God. Meaning, it's not just, you keep Shabbos, but you're miserable. And then you say, okay, well, I'll try and be happy. So now I'm doing another mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. No, you're not really keeping Shabbos properly if you're doing it because without the energy. Now, this is hard work. This is one of the hardest things in the world, to be happy. Because our natural state is to be miserable and to be kind of like unenergized. Everything, entropy is like the natural state of everything. It kind of just, ugh. So this is very hard. But he says, you can't keep any mitzvah unless you generate the sense of Ahava. V'zot min ha-mitzvot ha-tamidiyot. And this is one of the 6 constant mitzvot. Al ha-adam, on every person, will tell it alav la'olam, which is on you at every waking moment. There are 6 mitzvot that he identifies in the 613, which are not mitzvahs that come and go, but which are mitzvahs that are constant mitzvot, and sheva. Okay? One of them is Ahavas Hashem and Yirat Hashem, and there are 4 others. I'm not getting into the others now. So this is not a mitzvah that you do like eating matzah. Okay, it's Pesach, let's eat matzah. Done that, finished. This is a mitzvah every single moment of the day. You can choose to plug into this mitzvah. Okay, fine. Also, and I'm not going to dwell on this now, we have a very deep understanding that not just that we have a love for God, but that God has a love for us. And that's also very fundamental. And there are psukim explicitly, again in Tvarim, that say that God gave you the mitzvahs because God loves you. It's a reciprocal arrangement. We talk about that a lot. We talk about the davening, that ahava rabba. The mitzvah of learning Torah is all about, the bracha before the Shema, which talks about learning Torah, is all about how much we love God and how much God loves us. And we don't focus on God as a loving God enough. In fact, we've swallowed a little bit the kind of libel that has been made against us for the last 2,000 years, mostly by Christianity, that Judaism's God is the God of vengeance. It's the nasty Old Testament God that just punishes people. And we swallow that a lot. You'd be surprised how many kids that grow up in from schools that are focused constantly on punishment as their relationship with God. What does God? How would God punish me if I do this? How would God punish this person? And I see this all the time. With Bali Tshuva, you don't get this as much because they haven't had that sense of like. But with FFBs, especially from certain kind of school systems, it's all about nasty eye in the sky punishment. And the Christians constantly tell us that their God is the loving God. Our God is the God of vengeance. And part of that anti-Semitism, by the way, a lot of it's anti-Semitism, is coming out in the news reports. I heard Michael, what's his name? I can't remember. Michael something interviewed. No, he's a big political figure in Israel, whatever.
Sarah.
I can't remember what his name is now. And he was interviewed by a very antagonistic anti-Israel interviewer who said, like, aren't you really going into Gaza just to get vengeance? And it's all about vengeance. It's all about taking revenge. And that's why you're doing what you're doing. Just forgetting everything else that's going on here. And he kept kind of rebutting. And then he said he realized at a certain point, okay, you're just channeling this anti-Semitic idea that the Jews are vengeful people because their God is a vengeful God. But that's not how we see it. We have to go back to our own sources, not be taken by theirs. And if you look in number 6, here's a beautiful Shulchan Aruch. Im b'mak b'mkom b'rkata motzi. If instead of saying hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, you pick up a piece of bread and you don't say Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. You say instead in Aramaic, you say birech, you say the brocha, Borich Rachmana Malka Ma'ari the High Pita. You say that blessed is the Rachmana, the loving one, who is the master that created this bread. You're Yotze, Yatze. You could say, how are you Yotze? You can't be Yotze a Brocha unless you use Shem Hashem. You have to say Shem Hashem. Okay, you know what Shem Hashem is. It's Elohim, Shem Adnos, etc. So you didn't say that. You just said God is Rachmana, loving one. But your Yotzis, says the Mishnah Berurah, why? Kaven Sheyesh Shemu Malchus. You have used God's name. Demilat Rachmana, because the name Rachmana, Kai Bim Kom Hashem, is the name for God. Shekein Hayukurinus of Babel, the Babylonian teachers, all the rabbis of the Babylonian Gemara, the Talmud Babylon. If they talked about God, they didn't say God. Obviously, God is a modern, German English word. They didn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu in regular. They didn't say Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, they may have used these, but they used the word Rachmana. Whenever they referred to what we call God, they said Rachmana, Rachmana, Rachmana. And the Rachmana is the loving one, the one who loves us. That's how they related to God. The truth is, even the English word God has a lot of baggage. Do you find some people don't like the word God?
Yeah.
They don't use the word God actually much. They find it a bit like threatening in some way. I remember while my rabbi in England many years ago, his 5-year-old picked up something that came through the mail, and he ran and he said to his father, look, he says something the Christians have put through the door. So the rabbi looked at him, it was Taka, a Christian thing. He said, how did you, it's kids 5, how did you know it's from the Christians? He said, because it talks about God. We don't talk about God. Okay? Now, sometimes that's because we actually don't take it seriously and we want to use these words that kind of avoid having to deal with the reality of God, like Hashem, whatever. But actually, they use the word Rachmana. Anyway, let's go on, because we have a lot to do. What is the purpose of Ahavat Hashem? So we have to learn this Rambam. The Rambam here, on page 2, number 7, brings us the basic framework of how to do this mitzvah. Look, he says as follows. Al Yama Adam. A person should never say, "Hareini oisei mitzvahs haTorah veoisei b'chokhmah." I want to learn mitzvahs. I want to do mitzvahs and learn Torah. Kedei she'akabel kol habrachos v'aksuvos b'chokhmah, so that I can get all of the rewards, all of the blessings that it says in the Torah. Or kedei she'ezkeh l'chayei olam haba, or I can get the next world. I want to do Torah because I want a nice place in the next world. Ve'efrash min ha'averos, and I'm going to avoid doing averos. She'hizhir haTorah, the Torah says I shouldn't do mehem. Because I want to avoid all the curses in this world that people get if they get those averas. Or should I don't lose my place in Olam Haba? Ein roi la'ovid es Hashem, la'avodet Hashem, excuse me, aderech hazeh. It's not the best way to worship Hashem. Meaning, you can have this motivation, but it's not a very advanced motivation. Sheha Oivid al Derech Zeh, somebody who worships Hashem through because of these motivations, who Oivid mi Yira. They do it from Yira. Yira, a sense of awe, a sense of, like, I don't want to get this wrong, this is really serious, we're not playing a game here, there are real consequences. That's okay, that's fine, because a lot of people don't take it seriously, and you need to take it seriously. But this is the first level. The Einul Ma'alat HaNavim, that's not the level of the higher level, the Navim, the prophets. V'lom Ma'alat HaChamim, or even of the wise. Nenbet. Ha'ovid me'ahava, someone who wants to connect with God through ahava, Oisik b'Torah b'mitzvahs v'hoylich b'nesivas ha'chochma, they do Torah, they do mitzvahs, they get involved in the wisdom of Judaism. Lo mipnei davar ba'olam, not because of any other extraneous thing. The lo mipnei yirat hara, not because they're scared of punishment. The lo kidei liyarish ha'tova, not because they want reward. Ela oseh, I've put these words in bold, oseh ha'emet mipnei shehu emet. They do the right thing because it's the right thing. They're excited by it. It's the right thing to do. And if I get a place in the world to come, then great. But I'm not motivated by that. I'm not even thinking about that. People are too obsessed with the world to come. Oh, what's going to be in the world to come? Forget about it. Just do it because it's the right thing to do and everything comes along what comes along. Okay? This is a very high level. And not everybody even gets there. However, he'll tell you that you're obligated to try and do it. It might be a very high level, but you can't turn around and say, I'm not on a high level. Rabbi, I'm just a lowly seminary student, you know. I can just do Yira. No, that's not an option for you. V'himalat Avraham Avinu, this was the level of Avraham, Shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavo, that God says, he's the one who loves me. V'fishalai Aved Elam Yahavah, he worshipped through Ahava. Now, go to Gimel. This is a very important four lines which needs to be etched in your mind. But Kate said, "He ha'avaruya. What is the required level? The level that you're trying to aim for of loving God. You have to love Hashem. Ahavagdola, a great love. Yitera, exceedingly great. Azah, strong. Ma'od, very strong. Actually, to heinashak shurba amas Hashem, the nimsa shogiv atamid, so that your whole soul is wrapped up with God, and you're kind of obsessed with God." Always. You have this kind of God obsession. That you're in this amazing relationship. As if you're lovesick. Meaning, says the Rambam, there is a feeling that people get, usually when they're young, but not necessarily only when they're young, that they have this sense of crush on somebody else. This obsession about somebody else. This feeling that's just like, they can't get this person out of their mind, and they're really obsessed with them. Now, of course, that can go to a negative place if you take it too far. But he says the reason that you have that feeling in your head about this girl, about this guy, whatever it is because that's how you're meant to feel about God. God is giving you this feeling because now you know how it's meant to feel, so it'll feel, you know, that way about God. And he gives you an example. He says, if you've never had a crush on anybody, he says, I'll tell you what it feels like. And he says, you can't get this woman out of your head. He's writing as a man, obviously. You can't get this woman out of your head. He is obsessed with her, Tamid, constantly. He tries to go to sleep. He's thinking about her. He wakes up in the morning. He's thinking about her. He's trying to eat his food. He's thinking about her. Shote, he's trying to have a drink. He's just thinking about her. Yetam is there. More than this, should be the love of, for God in the hearts of those who love Him. Shogim batamid, they have to be obsessed. Kemoshit sivanu, because it says b'chol levavcha. These are not just words. It says b'chol levavcha. That's very intense. With all of your heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, with all of your power. V'hushe Shlomo Amar Derech Mashal, and that's when Shlomo HaMelech said as a mashal, ki cholat ahava ani. Shir HaShirim, I'm in love with God. And by the way, Shir HaShirim is seen as being the Kodesh Kedoshim, is the highest of all of the levels of Tanakh. The Zohar is constantly focused on Shir HaShirim, because the Zohar is all about the relationship between man and God, and understanding God, and having that relationship. And the Shir HaShirim, of course, is this very, beautiful, explicit poem about the man and the woman and how they're so obsessed with each other and they're chasing each other so much and about the fact that they never get to each other, etc. But he said that's what it's all about. But call Shir HaShirim, Mashal Hulei, and this is what Shir HaShirim is. Okay, and then he finishes off the Davi Yadua, Uboro, and it's absolutely clear She'ein ava takodesh baruch hu niksheret beliba, that you won't really have the real deal of love, shall adam ad sheyishke batamet, unless you think. Karui, like you're meant to. V'yazav kol mashe ba'olim chutz v'menu, and you leave other things. K'mosh yitziva v'ama v'chol avav chav v'chol nashecha. And the Rambam elsewhere says, and the amount that you love God will be commensurate with the amount that you actually think and the effort you put in. Meaning, you can trigger emotions by taking substances. Okay? And they're triggers. You can watch a movie and you cry. But you know that it's a movie. And after that heart-wrenching scene that you're crying your eyes out, somebody said, okay, cut, that was great, let's take 10, and let's move. Like, nobody died. Nobody's sick. Why are you crying? Because someone's playing with your head. Spielberg's playing with your head. And it's fine. You can do that. You can do that. You can take substances, makes you happy, makes you down, makes you up. Says the Rambam, that's all just triggering false triggers. You've got to do it through hard work, and hard work is thinking. It's a bit like inspiration, yeah? You go to really inspiring shiur or whatever it is, inspiration's great, but only if it makes you think. If you come out of the shiur and you say, wow, that was so inspiring, and someone says, well, what did he say? You go, I don't really know, but it was so inspiring. Like, what have you achieved? It's like inspiration is like, it's just followed by expiration. So inspiration in a shiur, unless you can actually take something with you, and maybe you need to write notes, maybe you need to kind of leave yourself a voice note or something to, you have to have something actually longer term. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do in Midrash Rachel V'Chaya. We're trying to give you long-lasting inspiration, which can only be achieved if you actually think. Because if you don't think, then you don't have real Ahavas Hashem. You just have a feeling which is going away. So he says it's a very, very important idea. And it goes together, as I said, with Dveikus, etc., and other things, clinging to God, connecting to God. Now, look at number 11 for a second, and then we'll get into the practical examples. This is a piece from Rav Charlap when he meets with Rav Cook. And he says, one winter evening, says number 11, it was cold enough to freeze the blood in one's veins. Everything was frozen. Ice formed on the window panes. Darkness prevailed and the clouds covered everything with an ashen grain. I went up to see the Rav. His house was pitch dark. Everyone was asleep except for the Rav. He moved around his small room all impassioned. For a while he did not take notice of me, but then he approached me and gave me his hand. It was completely frozen. And yet with a burning enthusiasm, with glowing eyes and a fiery countenance, he asked me, tell me, is it the same with you? What do you mean, I asked. I am completely consumed with a burning love for Hashem. Do you feel the same way? Okay, that's a bit extreme. But, you know, the excitement, that sense of energy, enthusiasm, positivity. And we know that we need this. And we try to get it from other things, money and fun and food and sexuality, and we know that these are all important things to kind of build the practical things of life. But the real excitement that we're trying to get is excitement of connection with Hashem. So let's move on to some practical steps. I'm going to tell you 10 ways now. You don't have to do all 10. You can think about which of these is your thing, is the way you're going to do this, as to how you practically speaking connect with Ahavas Hashem. Because it's all very well telling you this like goal to be like on fire, but what do you do practically speaking? So here we go. So number one, page 3 in the middle. Look at number 15. Tehillim, ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. Serve God. That means what we do for God as an eved, meaning mitzvot, with simcha. Ba'u lefanav, come in front of God, birunana, with song, with excitement. And therefore, the first thing you can try and do is whatever mitzvahs you do, try and do them with simcha. Now, again, this is very difficult. Rambam, number 16, at the end of Hilchas Lulav. In fact, not just Lulav, but Shofar, Sukkah, and Lulav. The Rambam puts all of the mitzvahs of Tishrei together. He says Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, and he's at the very end, he says as follows. Even though there's a mitzvah to be happy, to have simcha on every chag, in the Beis HaMikdash, Sukkot was one of the happiest days of the year. And then he segues into HaSimcha, this is how he finishes these halachas, and the Simcha, SheYismach Adam, how do you translate the word Adam?
Adam.
No, it's not the person.
What, birth?
never translate the word Adam as man, because you are not a man.
Person. Mankind.
Right? It could be mankind, but he's a person. A person. Don't ever think that Adam means a man. It's like an underlying kind of sexism that you're channeling. And ish means a man. Ish means a man, usually. But Adam always means every Jew. Okay? Adam, that a person feels, when a person feels a simcha ba'asiyat ha-mitzvah, when they're doing a mitzvah, ube'ahavat ha'el, and they're loving God, shitziva bahem, this goal, avodah gedolahi, it's really hard work. It's much easier to have yira than to have ahava. V'chol ha-moneya atzmo, but anyone who prevents themselves misimcha zo, from this level of simcha, Ra'uili paramimenu, they actually are deserving of a serious punishment. And he says, why she'emar? And he quotes one pasuk. Tachat ha'shelo avadata et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'v'tuv leivav mirov kol. Because you didn't serve Hashem with simcha and a full heart from all the goodness he does for you. Where is that pasuk? This pasuk is in the Tochacha. The Tochacha, which is the rebuke at the end of Dvarim. There's a massive, like the 50-something psukim of relentless promises of punishment that will come to the Jewish people. The most horrendous things. You'll lose your land, you'll lose your family, and people will have to eat their children, and they will be starving, and they'll be diseased. And you're thinking as you're reading this, like, what is the thing that we did wrong that we deserve such a terrible thing? It doesn't mention anyway. It doesn't say, because you did a vote of Zorah. It doesn't say that. Because you didn't keep Shabbos. It doesn't say that. So the one posik in the middle says, and why is this? Because you weren't happy. Because you didn't have simcha. And that's not some Hasidisha, you know, Rebbe. Not that there's anything wrong with Hasidisha Rebbes. They channel this a lot, and it's very important. This is a posik in the Torah itself. In fact, Hasidut came about in the 19th century, the 18th, 19th century, to a large degree to kind of reset the balance, because the Jewish people was depressed. The Jewish people through the 18th century was very depressed, 17th and 18th century, largely because of Shabtai Tzvi, because of the disaster they put all their hopes in this false Messiah, and also because of the way that people lived and the poverty that they lived under and the oppression they lived. Hasidus came along to try and restore this balance and bring simcha, but it's not a Hasidic idea. It's an idea in the Torah itself. So that's the first one, which is simcha samitzvahs. And just one second, number 17, a sefer called Sefer Charedim, which is kind of a Kabbalistic, kind of pre-Hasidic sefer. She'ika schar ha-mitzvah ala simcha. The main schar, the main reward for any mitzvah is on the simcha. The ena simcha prat nosaf mitzvah. That's not like an extra thing. It's not like, I'm going to learn Torah. Oh, but then I'm going to learn Torah with simcha. It's like an extra level. No. Learning Torah with simcha, the simcha is what gives you the reward for the mitzvah. Eliana, you had something to say?
Yes, I did. I have a question.
Yes.
What if you're meant to, like, struggle with the mitzvah, like, as part of the joy? Like, you're supposed to, like, understand, like, because you're supposed to be sacrificing something.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So what are you asking?
Because you're kind of like not in pain when you're doing it, but like keeping Shabbat, for instance, is like sacrificing a day. Not sacrificing a day, but like you are like.
So there is an element in mitzvahs that you're prioritizing them over other things. You're meant to come to the point when you don't really see that as a sacrifice anymore. Meaning, yes, you're giving something up. Let's say you're a big golfer. And we had in school many years ago a professional, like almost like Olympic level golfer, who was a student here. And giving a golf, Saturday is the day you play golf. And for sure, when she first started keeping Shabbos, giving up golf is like, how could she give up golf? You know, musicians, when we've had many very brilliant musicians come through these doors, Friday night is when people practice, that's when they have all the rehearsals, etc. So yes, it's a big sacrifice. But you come to a point when you look back and you realize, you know something? Yeah, it was hard when I was 22 to give up golf, but like golf versus like Shabbos with my family, not that every Shabbos is like joy. You know, there are difficult, challenging Shabboses as well. But when you look back with Gadol and you think of what you've built by having Shabbos, Shabbos is so important for building family and grandchildren, etc., and you think to yourself, and I was upset that I gave up golf. Yes, it was a sacrifice, but you look back and you think, it was like, you know, when you're a kid, you're a 2-year-old and you're walking down with your mum or whatever, and you see like in the gutter like a lollipop. Yeah. And you're like, I want the lollipop. And your mother says, like, it's filthy, you can't have any. You're screaming and crying and screaming. Like, when you're 7 or 8, you don't feel that. You don't want to pick lollipops up from the gutter, because you're like, I don't need that. That's like, When you were two, it was a big sacrifice. You would cry, you were upset for a whole, you know, whatever. And you grow out of it. So it's meant to be the same with other things as well. You grow out of a lot of things. Some things are harder to grow out of, because some things as you get older become bigger Yetzer horrors than when you were younger. Some things kind of get less, but some things get more. Like the need for covet, the need for personal, you know, respect. That's much harder, because as you get older, it gets more of a Yetzer hara. Other things you'll wear off, yeah.
Oh, just where did it, like, maybe it's exactly where it was, but, like, is it that, like, they didn't serve Hashem with Simcha?
Yes.
Is that, like, during this, like, time? It's been
yes,
or, like,
during the whole of Jewish history. So when the Second Temple is destroyed, and they were doing all these mitzvahs, and they were doing all these amazing things, why is it that they were destroyed in such a dramatic way? They didn't do it with Simcha.
Does it say, like, that, like, specifically in the verse somewhere?
Yeah,
like
that they didn't that they,
yeah, 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 yeah.
That they didn't do it with Simcha. That's the verse of
quotes.
Okay, that's the verse. Devarim, chapter 28, verse 47. That's it's not some you know, commentary that suggests it. It's the actual verse that says that.
Okay?
Explicit. And it's the only reason it gives for all of those terrible consequences. Okay, next. So the first thing is Simcha in mitzvahs. The second thing is Jewish thought and philosophy. And again, I'm just telling you, you don't have to do all of these. You have to decide which does it for you. Look at the Rambam, number 18. Eina oiva kodesh baruch hu ela b'dats shelievu. How do you really love God? With your brain. The Rambam is a rationalist. You love God with your brain. You love God through thinking. Va'al pi hadeya tehi ahava. The more you know, the more you love. Im ma'at ma'ad. If you know a little bit, you love a little bit. Im harbeh harbeh. If you know a lot, you love a lot. Ulfikach tzarech adam liyachid atzmo. And therefore you have to set aside time in your life lahavim, to understand, lahaskil, to cognate, to intellectualize, v'chochmas utfunos, and all the wisdoms, okay, hamudim lo, that lead you et konot to your creator, kifikach sheyesh ba'adam lahavim lahasik, according to what your abilities are. Okay, not everyone has a 190 IQ. Okay, so you'll do the best you can. You don't have to be Einstein. Now, he's talking about Chochmas HaTorah here, but we're going to see studying science and nature is also going to be on the agenda. Here he's talking about Torah. The Rambam says that you can develop the closest Ava you can for God by thinking. Now, not everybody's a big intellectual, okay? So that maybe won't be your primary mode. But this has actually been a big change in women's learning, by the way, in women's relationship with God, because women are as obligated as men in Ahavat Hashem. And throughout history, women have not been able to do this through learning, because women have not been educated. Now that women have become educated, and now are basically educated, you know, to the same level as men, the schooling that you got when you were kids was the same as the boys that were in your, you know, peer group. You are now able to connect with God through your brain in a way that women weren't in the past. Now, women did it other ways, but you have this extra advantage. Don't just turn around and say, well, I'm a woman, I can't do that. The answer is no, you can think. If you can think, you must think and work things out. And struggle and challenge and ask questions and engage with these things and not just accept and shrug your shoulders. You know, what is the meaning of life? How can I change my life? How do I make choices? What's good? What's bad? What's right? What's wrong? The name Yisrael means to struggle with God. So it's meant to be a struggle. There's no question which is a bad question. Lots of bad answers, no bad questions, you need to think, etc., etc. So that's a second thing. If you can do it through thinking, then great. Okay? Third, to page four, learning Torah. Now, learning Torah, of course, is thinking, but the Rambam was talking about philosophy. This is learning Torah, whatever Torah you connect with. Look in numbers 19, says the Rambam. The Loshon Sifrei, he's quoting Chazal, he's quoting the rabbis who wrote the Sifrei, which is parallel to the Talmud. The Fishinema, because it says V'yahavta is Hashem Elokecha, it says you must love God. Eini yodeh, kei tzedoi v'samakam. I don't know how to love God. Now, what do they always tell you about relationships? What is the word ahava based on? This is a very well-known drug. To give, yeah. That's the first thing like they tell you in anywhere. So how on earth do you do that with God? It's all real doing that with your kids and with your husband or with your parents or whatever. You can't give anything to God. If the whole basis of ahava is to give, then you're off on a, you know, you've got no chance with God. All you can do is take. Maybe taking is the way you can give. Sometimes taking is giving, which is an interesting point as well. Sometimes accepting a gift and acknowledging it is actually a gift in and of itself, which is very interesting. But that's even in halacha, you know, under a chuppah, a man has to give a gift to a woman, correct? And she has to accept it. So the Gemara says if he's a very important person, like really, like choshev, very important person, and she gives him a gift, and he accepts it, that acceptance of her gift is actually the biggest gift he can ever give to her. And in that sense, the act of receiving becomes an act of giving, which is very interesting, even halachically. So you can't give anything to God, but what can you do? You can learn. So it says, how do I do Ahavat Hashem? Talmud Lomer, the Torah says, number 19, at the end of the line, Vayu Advarim Ha'ele Asher Anochi Mesavcha Ayom Alavavecha. You learn Torah. It's the next line in the Shema, guys. The Shema says you have to love God. Next line, you have to learn Torah. They obviously go together. Shemitoch Kach Atam Makiris Misha Alavaha Yo'el. And through learning Torah, you get to recognize God. When you daven, you speak to God. When you learn, God speaks back. If you hear God speaking in voices in your head when you're davening, you need to check that out. That's not right. That's not how God's meant to speak to you. You're not a Navi. And even a Navi doesn't hear voices in that way. It's a different kind of hearing. But when you're learning, God is speaking back at you. So that's the relationship. And therefore, the main principle mitzvah of Talmud Torah is building a relationship with God. And that's why it infuriates me when people stand up and say things like, women are not obligated in Talmud Torah. What are you talking about? There are at least 5 different mitzvahs of Talmud Torah in the Torah. One of those mitzvahs, the mitzvah of learning Gemara in depth, yes, women are not obligated in. Men are obligated in. But what about the others, especially this one, which is learning Torah to connect with God? Women are 100% obligated in. So don't ever, hear something that women are not obligated in Talmud Torah. It's ridiculous. You're here for, however long in Midrash Rachel, just doing something that's not an obligation. You're here fulfilling a massive obligation, which is learning to connect with God, build this relationship through Torah. So that's number 3. Number 4, let's say you like learning science, you like learning math, you like, the whole universe runs on mathematics. It's absolutely inspirational. Why does the universe work on maths? That's the basic of the idea of gematria, by the way. I know gematria is often abused quite a lot by people who make stuff up, but like gematria is from the word geometry. It's this recognition that the whole universe is put together in a mathematical way. So Torah also is put together in a mathematical way because the universe reflects Torah on a certain level, not the other way around. So gematria is coming from a very real place. There's a book called Sefer Yetzirah, very, very ancient book, which talks about the 32 sort of aspects which make up the universe, 22 letters and 10 digits, and puts it all together. Barbara, you had a question?
Who's put these 10 things together?
Me.
Very smart.
So what do you want me to say? Okay, number 20.
Receive the compliment. It's one of the greatest gifts you can get.
Thank you, Walter. I appreciate it. Says the Rambam. Hey, who derech la'avaso? Number 20. What is the way that, it's all based on sources. I didn't make any of these sources up, but I put them together. Hey, hi derech la'avaso. How do you get to love God? Uli yiraso and to fear God. B'shashi bonin ha'adam. When a person focuses on the ma'asav, God's creations. Buruav niflaim. God's amazing creations. Hakadolim, so are so amazing. Look at size, look at the stars. Look how many galaxies there are. The Yirim Ahem Chachmasu, you see the unbelievable wisdom in how they're put together? She'ein la'erech, it's infinite. The Lord hates, it's just unending. Miyad, at that point, who oyhevu mushabeach, you start to love, start to praise, umufa'er, and to glory in this idea, umitaven, taiva gedola, and you have this incredible yearning to what? Leida Hashem HaGod, or to know more science, because you get to know God better. If you study the universe, study biology, you can go macro or micro. You can go micro to, nanotechnology and string theory and whatever else. Did you ever see that old video, Powers of 10? It was a really classic. In the 1970s, they remade it in the 2022 or something like that. Google Powers of 10. It's basically, it's a cute sciencey thing for kids. And it's not just for kids, where they, have this image of this guy and this girl eating a picnic on the beach somewhere, and then they do powers of 10 out, zoom out. Yeah. This is 1 meter, this is 10 meters, this is 100 meters, a kilometer, da 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 da, and they keep going out powers of 10 till you're looking at the whole universe and showing you how it works, and then they go back in again and they go in powers of 10, like this is a millimeter and this is a micrometer and this is a nanometer and this is da 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 da, and they go down and down, okay? Which is you can just, the universe is unbelievably inspiring on its biggest and its smallest level. We just get used to it on our kind of middle level. But he's saying, no, you've got to learn science, you've got to learn chemistry, you've got to learn maths and all that kind of stuff. If that's what does it for you, again, if you're not a math person, then fine, don't do math. But do one of the other ones. By the way, this is, you should know, I brought you Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Norman Lam, who was the one of the Rosh Yeshiva, main Rosh Yeshiva in YU, in Yeshiva University. And he says, look, number 21, this is the concept of avoda begashmis. This is a Hasidish concept, that you can serve God through your material things. You can be a farmer, you can be a cobbler, you can be, and you can connect with God through the gashmis of your life, through the material physical things, is that God's immanence is in all creation, in nature as well as in Torah, and it means that the mundane physical order represents a legitimate avenue of approach to God. And therefore he says that the Hasidish idea, if you can become close to God just from seeing God in the way that you, I don't know, mend your shoes, which, like taking a simple Hasidic kind of example, then all the more so you can see God in the way that you do a PhD. What's more impressive in terms of your connection with the big picture? Making shoes or studying for a doctorate or a master's or a bachelor's or whatever it is for you? And this becomes YU's main kind of platform of Torah or Mada. There's Torah and there's Mada, and Mada means non-Torah intellectual secular studies, which lead you to a relationship with God. Now, you can argue and say, yeah, that's nice, but does that really work? And do the kids sitting in YU really feel that? And if you're a teenager, does Torah or Mada really work? Or is it just like, you know, it's just like an aspiration? Okay, we can have that discussion as to whether Torah or Mada is a realistic thing for a kid to get a degree in a college or not. Okay, but in principle, it comes from this idea of connecting with God through science. In fact, Rabbi Lam even says an extreme comment. He says in number 23, the study of sciences and humanities is in effect the study of Gemara. Meaning, if you can study Gemara, you study Gemara. If you can't study Gemara, maybe even if you can, if you do a PhD in English literature, that can connect you with God no less than your study of Gemara. Okay, that's a controversial statement. But some great Rosh Yeshivas in our time did exactly that. They were great Rosh Yeshivas and they also had doctorates in English literature. Okay, and that's possible to do too. Number 5. This is a very important one, especially for kids. We're all kids. But especially for your teenagers. Meaning you've got to tell these teenagers you connect with God through learning, through study, through intellectual philosophizing. Your kid's going to just roll their eyeballs and they're going to say, oh, mum, you know, that's not what I'm doing. I mean, your 7-year-old will be very excited by that idea. But your 14-year-old will be just like, yeah, whatever. here's a good one. Number 24, and my Rav said, when we had teenagers, he said, this is very important. Sefer Chinuch. Inyan ha-mitzvah, what is the mitzvah of ahava? He's talking about this mitzvah. Shenachshav v'nidbonen, that we should think. Still thinking, v'nidbonen, we should consider. V'pekudav u'pulosav, God's actions and God's involvement in the world. Ashin isigev kufi yavotel, until we grasp God, v'nitzaneg, and we get excitement. Through what? V'hashgachato ha-miyuchedet. Through God's hashgach. That's excitement and connection to God through being part of the Jewish people. Now, not everybody's a big intellectual, but people can feel this sense of connection. You know, when you take a Kirov group or whatever it is, or any group, to the Kotel on Friday night, and everybody's dancing, and they get this sense of, you know, Am Yisrael and Achdus, and people are together. That is Ahavat Hashem through a sense of being part of the Jewish people. I felt part of the Jewish people tonight. You can learn Jewish history. You can understand the lows as well as the highs. The terrible things that have happened in our history as well as the amazing things. They're like the life that we live right now. You know, one of my rabbonim said, if you ask people today, you know, if someone asks you, why should I believe in God? So 500 years ago, certainly 1,000 years ago, if somebody asked a rabbi, why should I believe in God? They'd have said to them, look at creation. Look at the leaf. Look at the dogs and cats and birds and sky and sun and moon. How else could that have got there other than through God? God has to have made all these things. How could they get there? And that person probably would have been like, wow, you know, that you're right. This is unbelievable. If the rabbi would have said to them, look at God as Jewish history, they would have sort of said, what are you talking about? We've just been, you know, punished constantly for the last, I don't know, 10 generations, 20 generations. It's just never ending. I don't see the hand of God in history, they would have said to you, other than, like, it just gets worse and worse, you know, why they're picking on us all the time. But creation is, today, in 2025, So if the someone says to the rabbi, where do I see a connection with God? So if he says, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the leaves, look at them, I'll say, no, that's Darwin, it's evolutionary, and there's we understand how that happened, we understand how... They're not as excited by telling them that if there's a design, there's a designer. There's any number of books that you can buy that are going to pour cold water on all of that. No, you know, the Blind Watchmaker and what's his name, Dawkins, and this one and that one, etc. But if you ask God, if you ask someone, where can I see God? They say, well, look at human history, look at Jewish history. Like, whoa, the last 150 years have been the most roller coaster, unbelievable highs and lows of Jewish history. You cannot not see God's hand in Jewish history. Like I said yesterday, it's almost like smacking you in the face. Okay, you don't believe in God because of evolution? Shkoyach. How are you explaining Jewish history? How do you explain the way that, you know, 100,000 Australians marched yesterday against Israel?
Really?
You know, like how do you even explain that? You know? Okay, so that's not a very nice thing to happen, but it's just unbelievable. Okay, so Jewish history is very important in the sense of Ahavas Hashem. So that's the first five. What did I tell you so far? So far I told you simcha in doing mitzvahs, simcha and connection to God in feeling a sense of like philosophy and Jewish thought and getting your head around it. An excitement about learning Torah, number three. An excitement about science and nature, number four. And an excitement about Jewish history, number five. So there's your first five options. Here's your next five options. Okay? Let's go in. Page 5, source number 25. What is the opposite of loving God?
Not liking God.
No, not true. The opposite of loving God is not loving God.
Ignoring.
No, it's not ignoring. The opposite of loving God is loving money.
Oh.
Okay? Number 25. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Ha'oveh al zeh. Somebody who breaks the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, bless you. The koveya machshavotav beinyanim hagashmir, and instead of focusing their life and their energies and their excitement on connecting with what it means to be connected to God, they connect on the physical, material things. Ubehevle haolam, and all the stuff which is just like stupid in the world, meaning it's just not stupid because it implies that it's not necessary. Sometimes material things are very necessary, but it's hevel. It's all at the end of the day. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Shelo l'shem shemayim, and they're not doing it l'shem shemayim. Meaning you can have a nice house, you can have a nice car, and you can have a nice, you know, food, and there you can do it l'shem shemayim if it's part of your connection to God. No problem. You don't have to be poor. There's no mitzvah to be poor. There's no advantage to be poor.
That is always really easy.
Okay. Rak, but if your connection with your physical things is rak lehit anei bahem levat, because you like playing with the toys, because you like the physical things, all ahasi covered ha'olam, or because doing these things gives you, you know, a place in the world, honor in the world, presence, position. Hakoev lahagdil shemo. Okay. So you just want to increase your name and become famous. Not in order to help other people, etc. That's when they've broken this mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this down at the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah commentary, which has a kind of in-depth commentary called the Bir Halacha, he says very clearly that materialism is the antithesis of Avas Hashem. Look at number 26. Inyan mitzvah, the purpose, the content of this mitzvah, Shiyira ha'adam lahasim kol magamaso, that a person should take care to put all their focus, the kol machshavto, and all their thoughts, acha ahavas Hashem yisparach, into loving God, building a relationship with God. The yarich b'libo ki kol mashe yesh ba'olam, they should fix in their mind that everything in the world, mi oisher, the money they have, ubanim, the family they have, the covet and the honor they have, hakol hu ke'ein, ka'ayin, all of that is nothing. Kineged Ahavas Hashem, and again, this is hard, this is not easy, this is hard. That's the mitzvah. All of this other stuff is really ephemeral, it's a means to an end. The Yigia Tamid Bevakashas Chachmas HaTorah, you will constantly strive to increase your wisdom and connection with Torah. Leman Yasik Yidias Hashem, so you'll know God. Hakoveh Etz Machshavto Be'inyanim HaGashmim. But if you fix your mind on physical pleasures, Behevli HaOlam, Shelo l'shem shamayim, he quotes the Chinuch here, rak le'itanik lehasik, covered bitl asei zu v'onshav God. And this is a rampant problem in the Frum community today, especially in America, but also in other parts of Chutz Lachaim and even in Israel. There is a total fixation on Avodah Zarah, on Gashmis, which is almost an Avodah Zarah. It's been described by people as an Avodah Zarah, that they're just worshipping the money. And these are people who are from, and they're learning Torah, and they're, you know, keeping mitzvahs on a very high level, and all the chumras, da 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 da. You can be doing all that and still missing the point. And this is very hard. Maybe we're all a little bit too materialistic. I don't know. Everybody at their own level. But in some parts of the world, this has just flown out of all proportion. And this is a major problem. And we really have to fight this. And the Rabbonim have to fight this. Because this is a bittul. This is a cancellation of. This is the ultimate antithesis of Avas Hashem. Elizabeth.
Right. I was going to say, like, if you go to the five towns, like, this is all you see. But, like, how exactly do you fix this?
You fix this, well, that's a good question. How you fix the problem in the society is a good question. If you have a very controlled society, with like almost like a Hasidic society with a Rav in the middle that controls things, then the Rav can actually make rules that people follow. For example, in Gateshead, which is, I know, very different from the five towns, but it is a frum community, it's a Litvish community, but it's very centered around the Rav. The Rav has rules. You can't sell your house without getting permission from the Rav as to how much you're selling it for and who you're selling it to. You can't make a bar mitzvah, you can't make a wedding unless you have to fix within these specific guidelines. Now, in a small community where everybody really respects the Rav, that works. That's never going to fly in America, even in Lakewood. No one's going to have that level of, oh yeah, they talk a lot about the Gedolim and talk about Rabbonim, but they're not going to listen when it comes to that because the peer pressure is too much. Mm-hmm. Because the next door neighbors made a wedding that looked like this, so how can we make a wedding that looks like a shmata, you know? So that's going to work with small communities. With bigger communities, people are just going to have to, you know, learn this more and be prepared to take social consequences. You know, I don't know. It's difficult. It's easy for me to say. I live in Israel. It's less materialistic. And maybe where it's also materialistic. And you don't have to live like a pauper. You know, you've grown up with a certain standard of living. You have to have a certain standard of living to be happy. Yeah? And if that's quite high, okay, so then that's the way you were brought up. That's not your fault. That's like the society around you. But what's happening is goes way beyond that. It's just ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. I don't know. Which are the women who are going to turn around and say, I'm not going to buy a $15,000 shekel. I'm going to buy a $4,000 shekel. Yeah, it's easy now. It's easy now. But like, are you prepared to say, you know, like, I understand, but it's correct. You don't want to look ugly. But what's called ugly? It's very hard when you're walking around Gourmet Glad and everybody else is wearing a $15,000 shekel and you're wearing a $4,000 shekel. You're going to feel ugly, or are you? And guys, it's not just the women; it's the men as well. You can give many examples of the men. You know? Did you? You realize? I listened to a program about this recently. The average frum person in America on Shabbos eats 6,500 calories. 6,500 calories between Friday night dinner, Shabbos morning kiddush, Shabbos lunch, snacks in the afternoon, and Shabbos sodas, 6,500 calories. Now that's like enough for like 3 days. That's gashmias, and it's also a problem of, you know, ruining your health and. Like, again, we all indulge, but yeshful, there has to be a limit as to how that works. And then they join a very expensive gym to take off the 6,500 calories. You know, it's just, you know, you just eat less and pay less for the gym. Whatever. Again, guys, this is all easy to say and really, really hard to do. That's why the Rambam said this is an avodah gedolah. This is a really hard mitzvah. Next, number 27. Do ahavas Hashem through being a kiddush Hashem. Look at the Rambam again. The Gemara, right? This is not the Rambam. The Gemara. V'ahavtes Hashem Elokech. That people should look at you. The way you do Avas Hashem is other people should look at you and go, psh, this is what it means to be a frum person. It's so impressive. How does that work? Because if a person learns, the Kari, they learn Tanakh, Vashoni, and they learn Gemara, and they become close to Tamid Chachomim, they become a really identifiable as a frum person. And look at how they do business beautifully. They do their sphere in business and they're pleasant in business. What are other people going to say? Other Jews, other non-Jews, what are they going to say about that person? How fortunate is their father that taught them Torah? How fortunate is their rabbi at yeshiva, seminary that taught them Torah? What a shame for people who never learned Torah. Ploni shelam de Torah. This guy, who a woman who learned Torah, ru kamanaim drachav. Look how refined they are. How special they are. Kamamu to kind of how thought through all their actions are. Aval, but Misha Kare Vashani and Mashamis Tamid Chachamim. Someone who learns in Yeshiva and connects with Tamid Chachamim, they become the frumest. The Ein Masa Matna Be Emuna, but they don't. They're not honest in business. The Ein Dibura Be Nachasim Abrius, and they don't talk nicely to people. Ma Abrius Omer Salav. What are other people going to say? Oiloi, what a shame. Laplayni Shalim Shalam Torah. What a shame that he spent his time learning Torah. Oilo la Avi Shalimdo Torah. What a shame that his father taught him Torah. Oilo la Rabba Shalimdo Torah. Ploini Shalim Shalam Torah. This person who learned Torah, Ru Kamam Kukali Masav. Look how disgusting they are. That's what Torah gives you. A massive Chilul Hashem. So, Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem, is the way you fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. That is the mitzvah. So if you want to do this mitzvah through being an example to the rest of the world of how amazing it is to be a frum Jew, and how you can be so advanced in other areas of life in the way you behave and speak, etc., that's another area of Avas Hashem. Again, hard to do, or rather easy to break. One moment of Chilul Hashem because you forgot, because, you know, you spoke in a certain way, and this is very hard. And, you know, as a rabbi, I find this even more. People look at me as a rabbi. So what I do now has more consequences. And everybody can lose it, and everybody can go nuts, and everybody can drop things on their feet and curse and all that kind of stuff. As you represent the Jewish people, which you guys do, yeah, and I do, we all do, you become more accountable for this. Avas Hashem. Next, 28. To get involved in outreach. The Rambam says, "Hukfar amru shal mitzvah zol." This mitzvah of Avas Hashem kolelet gamkin shenidrash v'nikra anashim kulam la'avodah. So we want to spread the good news. We don't need to be evangelists, but we want to spread the good news. We want to get other people into it to serve God. Ulahamin bo, to believe in God. V'zeh ki shetav adam tasim libcha alav. Because when you really love somebody, you think about them. And you say nice things about them. You meet a guy and you bring him to meet your friends. You want your friends to like him. Not too much. But you want your friends to like him. You want everyone to say, look, this is my guy. This is like, don't you think he's great? Don't you think he's amazing? So if you really are into God, then you want to tell people about it. This is what Abraham did. Abraham is the ultimate one who loved God. And Abraham was the one who spread the word. And he reached out to the world. Now again, you have to work out, are you good at this, are you not good at this, do you do this well, is this what you want to be in? But the idea that there's something kind of almost like off about outreach, and in the frum world there's plenty of people who are snobby about this. Forget about the non-religious world who are often very worried about this. But even really, are you in Kiruv? Kiruv is one of the greatest things a person can be in. If you do it right, okay, there's lots of wrong ways to do it as well, okay? But the idea that you're reaching out to other people, this is a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Okay, that's the next mitzvah. And the last two, over the last page, I'm going to mention these really outside. I haven't got time to read through all the sources. But this is kind of what Eliana said before. There's another way of doing Avas Hashem, which is through Mesirut Nefesh. Mesirut Nefesh, that you're prepared to give up on other things because of how much you believe in how excited you are about this lifestyle. Number 29, the Ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, says the Gemara. Tani Rabbi Elazar Omer, Im Nema, if it says, V'chol Nafshecha, Lama Nema V'chol Mo'odecha, if it says with all your power, why does it say with all your money? V'im Nema V'chol Mo'odecha, and if it says with all your money, Lama Nema V'chol Nafshecha, why does it say with all your power, with all your might? Ela Im Yeshecha Alam, because some people, it says, Yegufu Chaviv Alam Im Amon, their body is more precious to them than their money. That's why it says, with you serve God with your body. Give up what's precious to you. If you find someone that their money is more precious than their body, that's why it says, with all your money. Amazing. Meaning, whatever is special to you, you have to be prepared to give that up because you really believe in Avas Hashem. Okay? Just like if there's a guy that you really are into and you really connect with, and he says, yeah, but like, you know, I'm going to medical school. We need to go live in Cleveland if we're going to get married or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to live in Cleveland. I like living in wherever. Okay, are you prepared to give that up and do that for that person and be with that person? You know, it's a big mysterious nefesh. That is how you show love to somebody. Okay, it can't be all one way. Of course it can't be all one way. But this is part of Avas Hashem as well. And the idea that we give things up that are important to us. By the way, I felt this about myself. I'm one of those people that I think loves their money more than they love their body. Meaning, last year I lost quite a bit of weight, and if you'd have said to me, you know, lose weight, you'll live longer and you'll be healthier, I'm going to say, I don't know, you know, God decides who lives longer. And there are people who are fat that are healthy, and the people who are thin, they get sick, and, like, you know, you can't tell. And I'm going to rationalise it all away, you know? But what I did, and hopefully it'll last, you know, I spent, like, 8,000 shekels on a personal trainer, you know, for like, 7 months. Like, and I'm going to waste 8,000 shekels? Like, 8,000 shekels? I'm going to put the weight back on? I spent 8,000 shekels on this. Do I look like a friar? I'm going to waste 8,000 shekels? Like, yeah, excuse me, you, the fact that you were going to live longer doesn't speak to you? No, not really, but 8,000 shekels. Yeah, so fine. Whatever it is that speaks to you, then use that. Use that Yetzirah in order. And the last one, which I'm not going to go through the last one so much, is this idea of Dveikus, of living a life of connection, of meditation, and I brought you here from the Mesillas Yesharim, from the Ramchal, that talks about building this sense of, like, hispoidedus and being alone with God and being excited about God. And there's also that as well. Jewish meditation is a very important aspect of Judaism. If you don't know about it, you should get Aryeh Kaplan's book, Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's Jewish Meditation. There are many books written on Jewish meditation. It goes along to a little understanding of Kabbalah, etc. This is real. This is not something that is just for the people over 40. You need to connect with that side. If that does it for you, and you can connect with God through meditating and thinking and dveikus in all its different ways, and being zealous, talks about here, being zealous. Again, zealous can be sometimes damaging if you're overzealous. If you're so, you know, febrent about everything that you want to burn everything up because of your... Okay, it's a question of balance. But there are ways to really emotionally invest in this as well. So there you are. Here's 10 different options of how to get involved in Ahavas Hashem. You can pick it. You can think about it. You can go back to the sheet. You can listen again to the shir. Maybe when you're 50, you'll be different from when you're 30. And when you're 80, you'll be different again. Don't forget, you are not just planning here the next 3 years of your life. You're planning the next 70 years of your life, the next 90 years of your life, you know? When your kids have all grown up and gone away and had kids, your Avodas Hashem in your 50s and your 60s and your 70s and your 80s is also something you need to put thought into, and this is all building that. Rachel, you had a question.
Can you just say the last five, like you said, the first five?
Yes, I can do that, and then we'll leave that at that. The last five were Avodas Hashem through avoiding materialism. That is the opposite. Loving money is the opposite of loving God. Avas Hashem through being a Kiddush Hashem, through being an example to others. Other people look at you and say, wow, that's what it means to be a firm person. That's amazing. Avas Hashem through reaching out to others and sharing the excitement with other Jews who are not connected to God, maybe even non-Jews as well, but certainly start with the Jews, okay? Avas Hashem through being prepared to give up things which are important to you, but which you need to give up in order to invest in the relationship. That's also the way that you show God, a love for God. And finally, Avas Hashem, through developing more connections, through emotional connections, dveikus, I can't really translate dveikus, like clinging to God, excitement for God, meditation with God, etc. And the works of Hasidus can help you with that a lot. So there we are, 10 things to think about, more things than that. I hope that was helpful. I wish you a wonderful Ben Ezmanim. And we'll see you in Elul if we see you. And if we don't see you, come back and visit us. No, come back next summer. Come back for winter break. Winter break. We're running a whole winter break program this year. 4-week program. Starting at Hanukkah and running until the beginning of January. For all those people who get a winter break option. And tell all your friends, please. Because the best recruiters for Midrashet Rachel V'Chaya are you. Are people who came here, who know what we do. Obviously, we work a lot with the people on campus. And they're great and they're amazing. We love them very much. But you can do more than they can do, because you can actually speak from experience and project that too. So, yeah, any questions, let me know. And I'll be in America in November, actually. And then in February, please God, and then in May as well. So if you want to see me, I'm trying to...